Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is the interview segment, and alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we have Hazrat Maulana Musa Akudi, damat barakatuhu. The date today, remember, is the 29th of Rabi'ul Awal, 1446 here in South Africa, and it is corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 3rd of October, 2024. Let's welcome our guest, Hazrat Maulana Musa Akudi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana Zahir?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How is Maulana? That's the big question.
No, alhamdulillah, very, very well. Alhamdulillah, lakh shukr. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly for all his ni'mats, feeling very, very, very well. Alhamdulillah, can't complain.
Alhamdulillah, recovery is going well.
Excellent, Maulana. You know, when I learned the new term with the physiotherapist, the ROM, the orthopedic has written on this one of his scripts, sending me to the physiotherapist, and the physiotherapist told me, you know, Maulana, RO means range of motion. So alhamdulillah, the range of motion is also improving. And in the end, it just teaches us one thing, that when you have a ni'mat of Allah, every morning we wake up sound, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our hearing, everything. We must be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when you lose it for a while and you become muhtaj, you know, you can't even support yourself to open up the door. You can't you can't even stretch your hand out of the window to press a button at the boom gate. Then only you realize what every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means.
And this is just to, before we go to our real topic, Maulana, this is actually what a believer's life is all about. Is always, when you speak to the non-Muslims, you say, do you know the virtue of being sick? They look at you amazed. Why would you speak of a virtue? How can you attach it to sickness? And for us, when you read the ahadith with going through difficulties and sickness, we don't ask for difficulties, and we don't ask for difficulties. But when it comes, then you read all these ahadith, and it gives you so much of solace that you feel like, alhamdulillah, Allah is going to give me so much because of that hope of a believer.
Definitely, what you said is absolutely true, Maulana. Remember, there was Maulana Tanwir Rahmatullah Ali. One day, one person wanted to test him out, and you know, because he said that ni'mat is also a sickness. Like you say, it's a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went to him and he said that, you know what, I'm very, very sick, and you must make dua. So Maulana replied, he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the bounty of sickness to a bounty of good health. But he was quite amazed at that particular answer, because he still referred to it as a bounty. Because when a mu'min goes through any pain or any suffering and he makes sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases him in rank. You know, sometimes people are not able to attain, you know, high stages in the year after through their normal amal. They're very weak. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may inflict them with a little bit of difficulty, and through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates them. That's why when somebody's sick, also you say la ba'sa tuhurun inshallah. Don't worry, inshallah. This is a means of purification also. So it's a very, very great bounty as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those who are sick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala change the ni'mat of sickness to a ni'mat of good health, inshallah.
Maulana, and that's this thought just crossed my mind as Maulana was speaking now, that Islam, if you want to explain it to a non-believer, it's actually every moment that is filled with negativity. They will teach us in school about being positive, confidence, this, that. But it's when we see the reality of their plans and their plots and their ways of dealing with situations, it lacks vision. But a mu'min, a believer, even in times of darkness, every negative situation, as we see in Palestine and across the globe, that is turned into a positive for believer. A father loses his daughter, the bones, everything, the body is severed into different pieces under rubble, and he takes this baby out and he's saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and the non-believers are shocked, what is this here? In this sense, you are still positive. And we'll just, Maulana will comment more on this here, inshallah, that one of our senior ulama have mentioned that if in Palestine, those people are getting closer to Allah, and with all those difficulties, rubble and bones severed, losing families, lives, all these categories that Allah has mentioned in verse 155, they are actually witnessing all of this here. Then, and they're getting closer to Allah than we in South Africa, we wherever we are in the world, with all our so-called bounties, which we are not using to get close to Allah. In this sense, we are distancing ourselves, then actually they are better because they're getting closer to Allah.
Very true, Mulana. You know, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha. And, you know, a story was mentioned regarding, I think it was Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anha, at the time of his confrontation with Hajjaj bin Yusuf or whatever it was. My history is not as good as Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein and them, you know, so you must just bear with me. But the story that we learned from there is that his son, Hassan, mentioned to her that, you know, I'm afraid that when I come into the hands of the enemy, they'll kill me. Mm. And after that, they will mutilate my body. Mm. Exactly like what is happening in Gaza. They're being mutilated to a degree that the world hasn't even seen in the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these people are so vicious.
Mm.
The type of bombs and everything that they are making, you know, it rolls and it actually, you know, minces the parts of the body, etc. So he came out with the same complaint. So she told him, "My son, you do not have to worry. You know, because after you die, your body feels no pain. Your ruh is gone to Allah." But the kuffar don't understand this particular concept. That is why our mujahideen, they will hold up a baby lofty in the air. And you know what I mean? They will sing the praises of Allah. You know, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Hasbunallah, Allahu Akbar. And they will be in ecstasy. They will be, the world cannot comprehend this. It is simply because they understand that there's another beautiful world that is waiting there.
Allah.
So all those who are focused on that beautiful world, they go through the trials and tribulations of this world. You can look at history, you see. And the rest of them, you know, like Mufti Abdul Qadir so beautifully says, he says, 80 of them this morning were dispatched to Jahannam. You know, so what they are looking, you know, they're looking at the fire in front of them. They're going to go to the wrath of Allah. And that is the reality.
Mm.
So, Morana is speaking now about, you know, about the resilience and everything in Gaza. Alhamdulillah, is really commendable, definitely.
Mulana Saab, now let's just touch on what's happening currently in Lebanon. And as Mulana Saab has mentioned, that on the eve, in fact, of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which they say, they got a beautiful surprise. And I was saying this earlier, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran Sharif, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ, those people who commit kufr. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, now Bashir means, Mulana Saab will tell us better, that it means to give glad tidings. But here, glad tidings doesn't refer to glad tidings as in this year. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, that shock. Because it's good news, but it's filled with shock. And that shock is that painful punishment. So they also got a nice shock on their New Year's. And how many people were dispatched to hell. And this, so Mulana can just explain to us the also our aqidah on this regard, as well as because we need to put things into place.
Mm-hmm. They think that they got all the glad tidings of the world. You know, they're a chosen nation. Chosen nation that, you know what, missiles and it rain down on them, but nobody dies. That's how chosen they are to themselves. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses a beautiful, you know, language of the noble Quran. That, you know what, you were waiting for something else. Let me give you some glad tidings. And so, you know what, they've got to look down upon themselves to say, you, instead of we getting glad tidings of Jahannam, this is what we are facing. Glad tidings of Jannah, this is what we are in reality facing. So they're definitely going in on that particular route. Like, you know, somebody says so nicely, you know what, when you tell somebody, go to hell and enjoy the trip. So now this is to tell them in a nice way, you know, go and enjoy the trip, now you're going to Jahannam. Molana, you know what? These people were planning this attack on Lebanon some time back already. And I think it must have been about 2 weeks back or so when all those pages exploded.
Gee.
Now, you know, at that time when those pages exploded and everything, and since then, this is the first time I'm getting to talk to Molana, Molana Zaid Sabir now on the program. And so this is very important for our youth to learn, you see. You know, Shabab, youth, is shu'batun min al-junun. You know, it's also a piece and a part of madness, enjoying oneself and going out this way, that way, and everything. There's a great message for all our youth that we need to learn from here. Many of our children are just because they're becoming computer programmers and they can become accountants,
gee,
things like that. Now, there's a real need for us to be able to be in the forefront of technology.
Allah.
This is very, very important. And this is in line with the injunction in the Noble Quran. وَعَيْدُ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ You know, prepare yourselves مِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ You know, in terms of, you know, cavalry, in terms of the conveyances in war, in terms of arms and everything, مِنْ قُوَّةِ You know, in strength, you've got to prepare yourselves against these non-Muslims. So there was a time until the end of the 19th century, the Muslims were at the forefront of technology and everything. They made some amazing things, right? And the Ottomans were marching into Europe and everything, and then they were backstabbed, and then the sectarianism was created within the Ummah. Today, the Ummah has forgotten that as a qawm, as a nation, we should be mu'mineen and muslimin. But then these people here, they divided and segmented us. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and Majid, you know, وَاَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا Hold steadfast unto the rope of Allah and وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا Do not be disunited. You see, but now what happens is the Yahuds now set in, you know, Abdullah bin Sabah and created the Shiite sect. So they created that fragmentation. Then the British came in, they created the Qadianis. I mean, and I don't know, the Qadiani listeners, if there's anybody on this radio station, I just make dua for them, or those who have, people know Qadianis, send a message to them that, you know what, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ That is purely for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you take a person, you know what I mean, who shakes his hands with the Queen, and you know what, I mean, who was bought out by the British and who claims prophethood, you know, as your savior. You can imagine what dalalat and gumrahi there is in that, you know what I mean. But these sects and these firqas and these groups were created to fragment the Muslims. And then what happens is, it is this, then further on they went to create the different nationalities. So today there is a pride. You know, a Saudi is a Saudi. An Emirati is an Emirati. A Kuwaiti is a Kuwaiti. You see, and Egyptian is a mystery. So they've come up with these things here, that these people in the Middle East all stand proud of their nationality. Nobody stands up for the Islam. You see, so if Islam was a nation, you know, and the unity would be there, then the one who is suffering in the West, the one in the East would feel it as well. You know, so the true Muslims feel for the Muslims in other parts of the world. But these people who are consigned, you know, them to the degradation of sects and firqas and just nationalities, they're not going anywhere. So we still have to be united under the banner of Islam. So in the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ Do you not see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to the people of the elephants? So there was always an attack on Islam, you know, from the time before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. You'll find that that Abraha, who was in Yemen, he wanted to create a place where people can be diverted to that particular place and forget the Kaaba Sharif, with the manifestations of the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tajalliyat come, forget the Kaaba Sharif. So he aimed for that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the Ababil, one of his creations, you know, and birds, and you know, they picked up this clay stones, and then it came down crashing onto this army of Abraha with his elephants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. So this is a perfect example in the Noble Quran of stealth bombing, right? Now, what happens is, I read that the first person to have invented a flying object like a plane or something like that was a Muslim, although they now attribute it to the Wright brothers. But they are wrong in attributing it to the Wright brothers. There are many, many other examples in Islamic history, faucets, stethoscopes, you know, optical instruments and telescopes. All these things at the forefront of it in chemistry and everything were Muslims. But then somehow or the other, the Muslims fell behind. And so what happened is a lot of the Arabic texts were taken over to France and to other parts of Europe, you know, and then they were translated. And, you know, you can still find on the internet these original texts, you know, with stethoscopes and everything written already. These might possibly be in the 1800s or maybe in the early 1900s. The Muslims were in the forefront of technology. So now they have forgotten that. So it's very, very important for us to go back into the technology. Now, we want pages, so we must now import it from a company in Europe who has all the time to delay the shipment and then lace it with some explosives, and then that explosive goes off at a certain temperature or when certain messages come on. So you can imagine now, you know, when it just goes to show that if they had used some concept where they had posted certain messages and that caused them to simultaneously blow up, you know what I mean, then in the very, very same way, how the uttering of La ilaha illallah has an effect on our hearts, they use some other type of scientific invention, you know, to create this. And they have been working on it for 15 years, which is absolutely illegal in international circles this year, you know. So the CIA were also working on this particular project, etc. So now what happens is, if we had the capability, you know, in this regard, and we would not be dependent on them in any way whatsoever. We will be manufacturing and, what do you call it, distributing our things here. So all those things that were for the good of mankind, we should have been in the forefront of that technology. We could not have been left behind. So the mere fact that we are not going in this particular direction is a great weakness on our part. If you take another Quran Sharif ayat, for example, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ, and the sky that returns things. Now, if you look at the sky, then what does it return? This ayat refers to the meteorites that are flung towards Earth. They come, you know, and these meteorites come in such a great number that one meteorite is sufficient to destroy the entire Earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it in such a way that as it's coming to the Earth, it is repelled. It goes back in the opposite direction. So if the sky returns it, that's what it means. Wasamai zati raj. But by the same token, you know, if you look at technology today, then also there's a sky that returns things. If you take satellite signals that go up into the air, and then they come back, you know, with receivers, the satellites that are in space, and then they come down again, they relay, you know, information. So then this is also the same tafsir of the ayah, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. So we should have been in the forefront of satellite technology because it's mentioned in the Noble Quran. And I'm sure there's so many other things that are mentioned in the Noble Quran, which is absolutely amazing. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. And everything is in, you know, swims in an orbit in space. And this, you know, and it is وَإِنَّ ذَهَا لَمُوسِعُونَ. We keep on expanding this year. So now, you know, when they came out with that Hubble telescope, they are seeing things and colors in the universe that they never ever comprehended. And you know, I once read that I was in Medina Munawwara and they had a museum there which shows the greatness of the names of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, Asmaul Husna. And then to create an expansion, they had broken it off, but it was a beautiful museum. And they should give me a free rein to go around there, you know, talking to our visitors and our Zairin in Medina Munawwara. So in that particular museum, they showed you this galaxy, 22 billion years wide. And it's still expanding all the time. The scientists are Iran. They are astonished as to this vastness of this creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and Allah ta'ala gave us a simple idea that you must prepare yourselves in terms of strategy and war and everything, you know, in terms of strength, you know what I mean, in everything. So we have failed behind in this technology. So what we need to do is our children need to learn this year, wherever they may be. Because in the end, you know, the one who has a superior fighting power, he becomes victorious. But at the same time, we also assign ourselves with Qudrat and the power of Allah and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it doesn't mean that we must not adopt the means. You know what I mean? So we have to become number one in the means. And alhamdulillah, some of our youngsters there, they're amazing, you know, but the talent is being thrown away because they're going to work for others, you know. So if you look at the entire Middle East, you know, the other day somebody sent a video, I got an absolute shock when I saw it, that, you know, the festival in Riyadh, musical festival, they're taking the Quran Sharif ayat, La uksimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. You know, and or fire in the background and everything, and then they singing these verses of the Quran and sort of making a mockery of it in our Muslim lands. So our Muslim leaders are very, very busy in futile entertainment. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمُ وَلَعِبٌ. They're involved in that futile life of theirs. There's nothing else. They just want enjoyment, pleasure. And at the forefront of enjoyment is wine, women, all these type of things and everything here. They're building skyscrapers. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yatatawaluna fil bunyan," that they will compete with one another in building these lofty towers and things like that. Which Sahabi or which Arab during the time, you know, could imagine that there will be buildings in the higher than the mountains of Makkah Mukarramah? Nobody would have ever thought about that. But our Nabi Akhirul Zaman, the beloved of Allah, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, and what he said is, he said that the Arabs will vie with one another. يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, the barefooted deserts of the Arab, the Bedouins, they will go to this land. So today what they've done, they put up all these skyscrapers and everything there. Allah gave them a wealth, you know, that they didn't have to, you know, go and create and invent or anything like that. They just found it now gushing out from the earth, black gold. And they gave the rule and the power of the black gold to our enemies to control. So you will find in Europe, you will find Shell and BP, British Petroleum, they are together. Caltex and Exxon, they from America. One side the Rockefellers, one side the Rothschilds. They're controlling all our resources, and we are the slaves. And the crumbs these people have got, and they're enjoying the crumbs so much, so you can imagine what the other reality is. At the moment, they could have just closed up all their wealth and stopped supplying to the West, cripple them. But no, they sleep in bed together with their enemies, you know, through munafiqeen in the spirit of the things that they are doing. So these countries could have taken, you know, I mean, Pakistan, and like Pakistan, in no way whatsoever does the international community, like they create the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank to enslave nations. And that's exactly what they've done to Pakistan. If any righteous leader comes that is not in line with their way of thinking, they have to get him out of the way. So there's no democracy. They speak about democracy. It's who they want in place. So they've got all their puppets in their regimes in the whole of the Middle East and North Africa and those countries, you know, Muslim lands and everything there. So Pakistan is no different. But Pakistan, alhamdulillah, they're very, very, very advanced in technology. Amazing things. You can give a Pakistani person who's working in his backyard, you know, who has a flame burning an old system, and you can give him a broken crankshaft, and he will repair it and make it right. I mean, they are so very, very, very advanced. They're so intelligent people. I mean, their brains are going to the United States of America. You know, technology that is born in these Western countries are born through the main break because of the dollars. These people from the East, from Pakistan, in these particular areas. The whole computer industry rests, you know what I mean, in southern India, in places like Bangalore and Kerala and all these countries, all these places in India, who are at the forefront of technology as far as computing is concerned. So if this energy knowledge was harnessed by the Arabs, you know, they would become superpowers already, and America wouldn't be able to do anything. At the moment, America, with its illegitimate child, like Mufti Saab says, you know what I mean? 1 year is coming now. Islamically, it's already 1 year. They cannot stand out against a small group. You know, we've got no surface to air missiles, nothing whatsoever. And all the sophisticated bunker buster bombs and everything they are coming with and everything there. They've been held out for a year. Where are they going to come to the protection of these Arab countries and everything here? Because the Arab countries now realize that they have to shift their alliances and everything here. So the reality of the matter is that we Muslims, and this advice I'm giving to all our youth, do not waste your time just for the advancement of this ummah, for its spirituality, for its strength, for its firmness, you know, for its ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what I mean? Spend your wealth and your lives in his path. You know what I mean? Learn to be able to sacrifice our comforts and luxuries for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this beautiful deen, for which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhim traveled the lands, and they also sacrificed themselves, you know what I mean? At the hands of the Romans, during the time of the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. So we must make dua, inshallah, then a glorious period can come back if we come back to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the noble Quran.
Mulana, I appreciate your message, and alhamdulillah, what I particularly learn is to be more hands-on from Mulana's messages over the weeks. Like previously we spoke about planting, and to become more hands-on, because let's face it, we all just have this herd mentality. We must become a CA, we must become a doctor, you must only these fields. But I was just reading now as Mulana was speaking that there was a Palestinian teen, 15 years, and produced an application. And this application tells you, like, struggles with the mother, maternal guide. The name of the app is the maternal guide. It tells you when the baby cries like this, it means hunger. When the baby cries like this, it means sleep or discomfort or different things. And look at that. And there was another Palestinian, also a youngster, not so long ago, we put it on the news as well, when he produced an app which they eventually banned. So if there's traffic at the West Bank border or at one of the West Bank entrances, then he will say, pinpoint, see there's traffic here, so go through the other entrance. And then they eventually banned it. But as Mulana said, we keep on saying, don't do this, don't go to university and that. But that doesn't mean that you must just sit and go and watch TV or something. Look for alternatives. That's where you're going to be an asset for the ummah. So we appreciate these messages, Mulana. May Allah give us, the youth, and all of us the strength to become an asset for Islam. Jazakumullah khairan. Make dua for us as well, Mulana.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. You too, Mulana.
That was Hazrat Mulana Musa Akudi. From us in the team, we appreciate your time as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.